Well, we're talking about peace today. Peace, one of the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God wants to work in us peace. I think my very earliest child memory of peace occurred when I was in the second or third grade. We had a substitute teacher in the room, and we were giving her the worst day of her life. We were talking out of turn, we're spitting spitballs at each other, we're goofing off, we're laughing at the teacher while she was trying to be in control of the class. Everyone was doing it, except for me, of course. Not that anyone would think about, you know, that I would do that. But anyway, it is madhouse in this classroom. And all of a sudden, we heard a very familiar sound in the middle of our fun. We saw the door open up to our classroom, and all of our heads turn in unison. And standing in the door was the school principal, Mr. Gephardt. He was 6 feet tall and the thick as a trunk. I mean, he was a big man. I mean, his face was red. We have heard rumors that he paddled kids with a 2x4. And all of a sudden, when he showed up in that doorway, the room got peace and quiet. That was the first I ever experienced real peace when he showed up. But I want to talk about real peace. And Jesus talked about peace in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 27. He tells the disciples, "Peace I leave with you." He said, "I'm leaving you, but I'm leaving my peace. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." In other words, Jesus is saying that his peace is different than the world peace. Now, the world peace is not, you know, the world, Jesus is not giving us this Mr. Gephardt peace or this Richard Nixon peace or Woodstock peace. He's not giving us that kind of peace. Jesus has given us profound peace. Now, if we could go to the other side of the world, to Israel, and ask a soldier, you know, what is the definition of peace? You know, they would look at you, they would look at me with their bloodshot eyes, and they would say, "Peace means stopping the bloodshed. Peace means putting the rifles back in the rack, landing the planes, putting our ship back in port. Return that to our family. That's peace. Halting the hostilities." That's what they would say to us. "We just want to see the hostilities just stop." And I would say that is a pretty good definition of peace for a war-torn world that we live in. It is the halting of hostilities. However, God's definition of peace, it's much deeper, it's more dynamic when you compare it to the world peace. In fact, the world peace will never get there. The world can never manufacture the peace of this world. But there is a peace that Jesus can give. I want to give us today three quick thoughts on three different types of peace that the Lord wants to give through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number one, it's what we call spiritual peace. Spiritual peace. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, he said in verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith," and that means that we have confessed our sins and we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. "Since we have been justified through faith," the Bible says, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace here can be defined as reconciliation with God. It means to be reconciled with Him. We are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And once we have made a decision, that faith decision, and accept Jesus Christ into our lives, we are reconciled to God and we have a personal relationship with Him. And so the question here this morning is, do you have spiritual peace? Has there ever been a time in your life where you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you ask Him to come into your life? You see, when you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have that spiritual peace because you know that you are secured in Him, that no man can pluck you out of His Father's hand. You are safe in the arms of Jesus. And we have peace. Even on our worst days, we can have peace knowing, even in our failures, we can have peace that we have been justified. We have been justified, you know, in Christ because of our faith in Him. We have salvation. And so the question is, do you have spiritual peace? Do you have peace with God? Here's the second aspect of peace this morning I want to look at. It's personal peace. Personal peace. And we see Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a big difference. We're in a spiritual, in a spiritual peace, and we call it peace with God. But there's a big difference between peace with God and peace of God. You see, personal peace is the peace of God. Here's the difference if you take a note. Peace with God. That's that spiritual peace. That's the peace that Jesus saves. That's what peace with God means. You have made peace with Him when it concerns with your salvation and your relationship with Him. But the peace of God, that means that is Jesus who is the peace that comforts. Jesus is the peace to comfort. That's the peace of God. There's a big difference. You see, you cannot have the peace of God, the peace that comforts. You cannot have the peace of God until you first have the peace with God. That makes sense? In other words, a lot of us have peace with God. You're saved. You have Jesus in your life. But there are many of us who do not have the personal peace of God. There's turmoil going on in your life. Your life is haywire. Things are out of control and there is no peace. You have the Savior in your life. You have peace with Him. But there's no peace, spiritual peace, there's no personal peace at the moment. In Bible said in John chapter 14, Jesus said, listen, I want to bring you comfort. And go back to that verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Then he said, do not let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Jesus wants to give you His peace. He wants us to have the comfort that He is with us. Do not be troubled. And so to have His peace, you first got to have a relationship with God. That's the spiritual peace. That's salvation. Then to have the peace of God, it's necessary to be in a continual relationship with Him. And every day, the peace of God in my life, the peace of God in your life, there's a battle. There's a spiritual battle for us to be removed from the peace of God. You know what the number one cause of that battle? It's a little word called worry. The Bible says we worry all the time. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says here, the Apostle Paul, by the way, he writes this in a jail. He writes this whole letter in prison. If anybody could be in the dumps, in a bad mood, if everyone could be worried about something, it would be Paul writing this letter. And Paul says in Philippians 4, 6, hey, do not be anxious about anything. Quit worrying. He said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And he said in verse 7, and the peace of God, remember the phrase, of God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So worry, it's the opposite of peace. Because of our constant state of worrying, we don't have the daily peace of God that he wants you to have. But think about the things you worry about. We worry about the economy, right? We worry about our finances. We worry about politics. We worry about our health. We worry about our kids. We worry to death about what people think about you. We worry, don't we? We're in a constant state of worry. And Paul said, instead of worrying, pray. Pray, and when we pray, there's a peace that we cannot explain, the Bible says. And that peace begins to comfort our lives, knowing that God is in control and that he's working all things together for good. That's what that peace is. We might look at a tough situation and say, God, I don't like the situation I'm in. This is a rough road, but God, I'm going to trust you, knowing that all things work together for good. And he begins to give you his peace. Why? Because I'm transferring my worry into a trust in him. And so we need to stop worrying. We need to pray. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul said, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, he said, put it into practice. He said, you got to think about the good things and you got to live it out. To practice these things, practice the word of God. And then he says, and the peace of God will be with you. The peace of God. And so it starts with a spiritual peace, that's salvation. That's the peace that I'm secure, that I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I have that peace. But then I have that daily peace of God. Now live according to his word. Trusting in him, knowing that all things are working together for his good. That is the personal peace of God. Here's the third peace. It's relational peace. Relational peace. I got to admit, some of us here, you know, we're doing good. You know, you're just flying through this sermon. Says, Scott, I got point one. I got it. Woo! It's a personal peace. I got it, Scott. I understand it all. Now we're going to hit where the rubber hits the road, right? This is where the rubber meets the road, relational peace. This is where sometimes our harmony with others is a little shaky. It's a little rough. Maybe there's some situation in your family, there's no peace. The Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if it is possible, underline that word if you like, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. I love that. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. God knows that's not always possible. You know, for example, have you ever tried to seek reconciliation of a person that doesn't want to hear or deal with it? You try to do your part. You do everything you can, and yet they don't want to have anything to do with it. And it's out of your control. You can only do what you can do. You can't make a person reconcile with you. I know this happened in my life. You know, there have been times in my life where this relationship that you can do as much as you can. If it's all possible, I'm going to do as much as I can, as much as it depends on me. I'm going to strive to live at peace with that person. And unfortunately, there's been times where it doesn't get received well. And no doubt that you've had experiences like that as well. The Bible said, do as much as you can. And we pray that in most situations that the person will turn and reconcile and that you can live with peace. And I believe that in most cases you can. I know there's those impossible situations that it's never going to happen. But you do the best that you can, what the Bible says. I'm going to show you five ways. Five ways how to establish relational peace with others. Five ways to have relational peace. And this might be very practical. Maybe some of you need to hear some of these things. I hope this will help you out. Number one, God, take the initiative. Take the initiative. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and verse 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. The question is the Holy Spirit bringing certain people to mind that you need to have peace with? You're like, well, Scott, they were wrong. Huh? Okay, I hear you. You say, God, I don't know if it's all possible. As much as it depends on you, can you take the initiative? Maybe it's a friend. Maybe for a student in here, it's a classmate. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. If you are the offended or the offender, the Bible says, take the initiative, go and make peace. Go and make peace. I want you to think about the mind of God here, the character of God, the nature of God. We were totally in the wrong. We were the offender. We have sinned against the Holy One. And yet God took the initiative and sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful that God took the initiative? God could have just lifted his hand up and said, well, too bad. Walk away. He could have easily have done that. But he loves you too much that he took the initiative and sent his only son, Jesus, for you and for me. And if the mind of Christ, when we have Christ in our life, don't you think we should live out taking the initiative? Taking the initiative. Maybe you're waiting for someone. He started it, so I'm waiting for her. I'm waiting for him, you know, to seek forgiveness. You take the initiative. You take the initiative. Here's the second thought when it comes to relational peace. You've got to empathize with others. Empathize. Romans 15, verse 2. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. Now, there's this idea of empathy. Put yourself in their shoes. Don't sympathize. Empathize. Sympathize means feeling sorry for someone. Empathy means feeling what the other person is feeling. Put yourself in their shoes. Sometimes you're talking to someone, it's a barb at you. It's angry tone. You're like, where in the world did that come from? What is going on there? I've learned a long time ago that hurt people hurts people. Wounded people wound people. They're already hurting. There's something going on in their life. And sometimes I say, you know, I just need to hear them out, give them grace. You know, I'm that person at the cashier, you know, that person on the road, you know, that person, that waiter or waitress is in a bad day and in a bad mood, there's something behind that pain. I need to empathize. I need to be slow to anger, the Bible says in James chapter 1. Be slow to anger, slow to speak. Empathize. Here's the third thought when it comes to relational peace. It's to focus on the issue, not the person. Ephesians chapter 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It's a phrase to avoid, right? Don't start comparing others. Don't start comparing them with others. Don't ever say, I wish you were more like her. Or I wish you were more like him. No, never say, you're just like your mama. Don't ever say that to your wife, guys. Bad move. That would be the death of you. I'm telling you. So never compare. Don't threaten. I'm going to leave you. Don't ever use the D word, divorce. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to divorce you. If you keep doing that again, don't threaten. Don't play psychologist. Hey, the reason why you're like this is because so-and-so. You're not a psychologist. And even if you are, it may not be a good idea in your family relationships. I have to be careful in my family not to be a pastor. I could. I could pull out the Bible and start whomping them on the head. No. That's not the way to. I don't need to play pastor to them. I need to be their husband. I need to be their father. Okay? Y'all with me? Don't interrupt. Don't change the subject. Focus on the issue, not the individual. Attack the issue, not the person. Number four, you got to be flexible. Oh, you got to be flexible. Don't be headstrong. Don't be stubborn. Give and take. Give and take. Learn the fine art of compromise. Let the word of God speak. James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace, reap a harvest of righteousness. So be flexible. Number five, make reconciliation the aim, not resolution. There is a difference. Resolution is settling the issue. Reconciliation is reconciling the relationship. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Be a reconciler. Be a reconciler. Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. I love that word rule. In fact, it's the only time in the scripture that the word rule is used. In the Greek language, the word rule here, the only time. And the word rule, if you're taking out, literally means to act as an umpire. And as we strive for peace, understand that we can't do it on our own. But we rely on the scripture and the Holy Spirit of God to umpire our lives. Let him speak. It starts with that spiritual peace. It starts with that, and then continues on with that personal peace, the peace of God. to live according to his word and to stop worrying. And in that relational peace, that's where the rubber meets the road, right? That's where it gets tough sometimes. If at all possible, as much as it depends on you, let the word of God umpire you. Speak into your mind, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't go there. Listen, listen, listen. Hey, do this, do that. Go take the initiative. Do this. Make it right. Focus on the issue. Be flexible. Come on, be flexible. Don't be so stubborn. Let the Holy Spirit of God umpire our lives so that we can produce a fruit of peace that the world is dying to have. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. We thank you for the fruit of peace in our lives. God, we ask you, help us. Help us to live out this fruit. Maybe there's someone here today that needs spiritual peace. They don't have a relationship with you. Perhaps, God, there's someone here that is a Christian, but they've not been living according to his words. And they have no peace. God, I pray that they fall back into the word and stop worrying and to trust you. Perhaps, God, there's a relationship that we need to restore. Perhaps there's a phone call that needs to be made. Take the initiative. If all possible, as much as it depends on us, God, help us to live with peace with others. God, we just thank you for this day as we celebrate those who are taking their next step in baptism. We're excited about these that made their decision for you. And God, we thank you for the peace of God that rules in our heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.